From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we start with a live look at the Hart Bridge over the St. John's River in downtown Jacksonville. The Jaguars have changes at the top. The big announcement coming up Thursday. Plenty to get to today on Jaguars.com Live. The reaction of the Coughlin Marone Caldwell news with Brian Sexton and John Osier. NFL Network analyst Brian Billick will join us over the phone to break down all the changes here. And a preview of what's coming up Thursday is on the docket. Welcome in. Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank, J.P. Shadrick, Brian Sexton, John Osier. A relatively busy news week around here, guys. Huh?
Well, and it's funny. It sort of feels like, I was going to say calm before the storm. It feels like the eye of the hurricane. You know, we heard everything that's going on Monday. I think the reports are that we have a sniff of what's going on with the coaching staff. And now you're just sort of waiting until tomorrow when a lot of these answers, a lot of the speculation, a lot of things we're talking about and assuming, we're going to find out exactly what the direction this franchise is going forward. I think it's going to be a very interesting press conference tomorrow.
Well, they said when they let Gus Bradley go after the Houston game, they were doing it to get a jump start in the competition. Six openings on Monday morning, five on Monday night.
This started with an announcement earlier of the press conference coming up. Shad Khan, Tom Coughlin, Doug Marone, David Caldwell, Mark Lamping will address the media. The team said Thursday at 10 a.m., well, it's scheduled to begin at 9:55. That was the added line from the PR staff. It kind of tells you about the new world order around here. What's new is old. What's old is now new again.
Well, that's Coughlin time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what that is for people who may not realize.
Well, that's
that.
Really 10 minutes late on Coughlin time.
Well, it could be. Yeah.
His old saying, he told me in 1994 when I first started working with him, that if you're only 5 minutes early, you're 10 minutes late. So that is starting 10 minutes late.
Where does it stop? Right. I mean, is it?
I mean, at some point, you
just keep going and going and going.
I can tell you story after story after story. And at one point with his television show, which we used to tape on Friday mornings, it got earlier and earlier and earlier. That is the way. Now, look, Doug is the head coach. So I'll be interested to hear how it's all going to lay out. But Tom is coming in charge of football operations and the football side of the building. And that's the way he works. Mm-hmm. He is always perpetually 5 minutes ahead, so you should set your watch 10 minutes ahead to be 5 minutes early for anything that he does.
But can
you think I'm joking? People out there, ha, ha, ha.
No, I'm not joking.
Dead serious.
Can you do that on a phone?
Like, that's a great question.
In 95, you can set your watch. Yeah, but I don't think you can do that on that. Can you? Can you set an iPhone?
A lot of math involved here with times.
Well, you know, we keep hearing how the world has changed and how
Tom will call
the
Apple.
NFL has changed.
Tom will call Apple and get it done.
Well, when Tom got started here in 1994, there weren't really cell phones. There were no iPhones at the time.
That was the point I was making.
Yeah, no, I finally got it.
You're 5 minutes late on that one.
I'll be earlier than you guys on a lot of other things, though. Promise you that.
So for the role for Tom Coughlin, we'll hear a lot about that on Thursday, and we'll carry it here on Jaguars.com. How do you think he'll do in this role? It's a new one for him, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Tom has always been in charge. I mean, he's great at being in charge. He is a leader. And, you know, he was an assistant coach for a long time, but not since 1991 after he left that Parcells Super Bowl team. He's been a leader. So he's going to put his plan in place and lead. You know, we have to find out, you know, what is Dave Caldwell's actual defined role? What's he going to do? Who's in charge of the 53-man mm-hmm. roster? I mean, how do these things all lay out? But in terms of having a plan, because look, he was in charge of everything here, and then he went to the Giants, and he was in charge of just coaching the football
Correct.
Team, and he won two Super Bowls with wild card teams, by the way. So he showed you what he does best. Well, now he's stepping into this role away from what he has done best, which is coach, to just be the leader. I'm interested to see. You know this. The man is a voracious reader. I'm sure he's been preparing himself for this. He's looked and seen how other people have done it, other contemporaries, the Bill Parcells of the world, as you will. I think he'll do great. But that's because I know him as a leader. And his personality, I said this on Monday, his personality will be the dominant personality in the building, like 5 minutes ahead. It hadn't even been in the building yet. We're moving the press conference from 10 to 9:55. Hey. Enough said. I think he'll do great.
Yeah, there's no question it will be an adjustment because it's a new role. You've heard things like, will he be able to not interfere with the head coach? Will that be a problem? you mentioned a couple of times, you know, the Banks and Lombardi thing.
Oh, yeah, 1968, Lombardi went to the press box and let Phil Bankston take it.
There's no question in my mind that it'll be a challenge for Tom. But I also think that he understands how the NFL works. And I talked to Tony Boselli about this and was asking him. And Boselli said he doesn't think he'll have a problem with it because Tom understands protocol. And he understands that the head coach has to coach and that will be the head coach's job and it can't work otherwise. Now, will it be tough? Will it be tricky? Will there be something inside just saying, I want it? Maybe. But I think he'll be able to handle it.
Well, and look, I realize it's
not. He knows how it has to be done.
It's not an apples to apples comparison, but he has spent the last year watching.
Correct.
Right? I mean, that has to give him. Lombardi in 67 was coaching. In 68, he was the general manager and watching from the press box.
Correct.
Tom has been watching football from afar for the last year. And that, again, not apples to apples, but that has to give him sort of a lead in. Plus, he'll throw himself into what his role is.
Right.
And have an impact on the football team. So it'll be a little tricky for him, but again, I think he'll do great.
Yeah, and it can't. Whatever, it's not going to be a bad thing.
No.
I mean, we're sitting here analyzing, we're sitting here breaking down the details. The big picture is that's the kind of leadership that puts a stamp and a face on the organization, and he will be that face on that level.
Dave Caldwell got a 2-year extension to stay in his role. We'll hear from Dave coming up on Thursday as well. Doug Marrone has the interim tag taken away. He is the full-time head coach. Haven't been announced the hires on the the assistant coaching staff yet. That should be coming soon as well, but there are reports out there that the coordinators will be back. So what do you, first off, make of the Marrone hire, and how much involvement did Coughlin and Caldwell really have in making that decision?
Well, it certainly, I mean, I cannot imagine that Tom would take over as executive vice president of football operations and then say, and whoever you want as coach is good with me.
You know, I mean, right. You can't imagine it.
It doesn't sound like Tom.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen.
So certainly he had a say in it. Certainly he signed off on it. Was he there banging the drum 9 or 10 days ago? I don't know. But the decision came. It was announced simultaneously. That's not a coincidence. Certainly, Doug Marrone is who he wanted.
Marrone is a really good football coach, okay? May not be the sexiest hire. You know, people were out there examining all the young offensive coordinators and all that. But this is a guy with track record. Hey, you won in Buffalo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Went 9-7 in Buffalo. He also reminds me in personality in many ways of Tom, in structure in many ways of Tom. I mean, I think I said when we sat down when they took over, he'll put an edge on instantly.
Right.
Oh, hey, so will Tom, right? I think he's his kind of guy. I think that they have similar philosophies, and I think they will work very well together. I like the hire.
Yeah, the only question is, like personalities, can they move in lockstep? Which that's the million-dollar question everybody's going to be asking and everybody's going to be watching. Again, I don't see why they can't, but that will certainly be a topic to watch and examine going forward.
Quarterback position will be a big topic of discussion on Thursday as well. How does this all fit in? And, you know, we were talking about this before, Brian, that Tom Coughlin has quite a history working with quarterbacks. Does he have, as in this role, will he have ability to go be close to the quarterback?
Well, and look, he'll have to answer that. Exactly how he does it, but will he have an impact? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're talking about a quarterback whisperer here. Remember what Eli Manning's first quarterback efficiency rating was? 0.0 against the Baltimore Ravens his rookie year. And he helped build him into a 2-time Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl caliber, Super Bowl MVP caliber player, and a terrific quarterback. You know, I remember back in the day when he was evaluating quarterbacks here, back in the trailers, you remember those days. Mm-hmm. I would go in on Wednesday afternoons to get ready for the Thursday night Tom Coughlin show that we did in 94, and he would have a stack of tapes. He was really evaluating the quarterbacks, and then he'd turn them around when I come in, but there was always one that was sitting over there. It was Mark Brunell. And he went and he watched Packers practices that summer. I mean, and he identified the guy whose name is on the wall here.
Right.
And remember, you talk about a fifth-round pick out of Washington who was sitting down the bench from Brett Favre, Ty Detmer, right? So he wasn't necessarily going to pop out and just be the Packers'
right.
next guy.
Yeah.
Tom found him and then helped grow him and put weapons around him. So
and went and got him and traded for him.
Absolutely.
And, but I think the key, he's not going to be on the field whispering.
Oh, no, he's not going to
say
no,
that.
No, no, no.
But, you know, does he believe in Blake Bortles? if collectively they're not all in on Blake Bortles, what does that mean? Is there going to be a plan for bringing in competition? Are they all in with him? That will be the mutual decision they have to make. I don't know that we'll hear that for sure tomorrow, but it's certainly going to be a topic.
Sure, and imagine that he has a role, because he does, in helping Doug put his staff together,
right,
having some input on that. Imagine the quarterback's coach would be a pretty important part of mm-hmm. that, however they structure it, and I can see him having a very strong hand in that. I say see because he'll tell us tomorrow,
sure,
or we'll find out down the road exactly how it goes. And don't think that he won't be the first one with the tape on the plane ride home with the iPad, sitting there watching it and be ready to share his opinions.
After Bissell.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Right.
I love the way you just deadpanned
right.
that.
Right.
You're right, though, too. And have opinions on helping Blake Bortles be his best.
Yeah.
He will not be intrusive in the way that he will be disruptive, but he will be intrusive in the sense that he will have a vast ocean of knowledge to be able to pull from to help the quarterback, which helps the team, which helps everyone, and that's what he's here for.
Continuity was kind of the buzzword when the announcement of Doug Marrone came down. Okay, you're keeping the interim guy here. If the reports are true and the coordinators stick around, then that's continuity. The question will be, though, is that the right thing coming off a 3-win season?
Well, I think there's a lot of questions. You're sensing continuity based on the reports, but there's also reports out there that Mike McCoy is a candidate. It's not coming from inside the building, but it's on Twitter. Until these are announced, you don't know for sure. Secondly, what you don't know is Nathaniel Hackett, offensive coordinator. Let's assume that. Todd Wash, defensive coordinator. Let's assume that.
Fired the whole defensive staff.
Basically, because Todd Wash is the line coach. So basically two frontline assistants. But yes, does that mean complete change from the hybrid Leo single high safety? How much does Todd Wash believe in that? How much does he want to keep that? We can assume, because the whole staff is not returning under Wash, that that's not happening. But we don't yet know. Hackett is just as interesting. Ran Greg Olson's offense with Hackett seasoning put in the last 9 games of the season, if you will. How much does that change? If it changes, there's still a lot of stew out there to be mixed, so to speak.
I understand the continuity conversation, mm-hmm. but it'll be a completely different system. It'll be a completely different coaching staff. And just because some of the names were there doesn't mean that they're just, well, rolling right through 2016 to 17, because Doug Marrone was 1-1. He wasn't the 2-13?
Right.
2-12? Yeah. So.
Coming up Thursday, coverage of the press conference, 9:45. Our coverage begins here on Jaguars.com. Scheduled for 10, they say it'll start at 9:55. We'll have special guests live after the press conference, and you can watch it live on Jaguars.com. Let's go to the phone lines and welcome in NFL Network analyst Brian Billick on the line. What's up, Coach? How are you?
Doing great.
Thanks for coming on with us today. Let's start off with the major changes to the hierarchy here. It was Marrone, and then, surprise, surprise, Tom Coughlin is in the fold as the executive VP of football operations. What do you make of the move of Coughlin to the top of the football world here?
Well, Tom Coughlin is an accomplished football man, and I didn't limit that to say just a good football coach. It's been well known that Tom Coughlin, whether it be personnel, whether it be cap, he has a great comprehensive knowledge of the game, spending last year with the league office. So, beyond his obvious abilities as a coach, he's going to bring a huge acumen for the game in total.
We'll get to your thoughts on Doug Marrone. This is John Osier. Brian, you competed head to head against Tom in some classic battles. Give me your best Tom Coughlin story. What do you got?
Well, I don't know that I have a Tom Coughlin story, other than the fact that, obviously an outstanding coach. When I got to Baltimore, they had not beaten Jacksonville. And so obviously that was a big win for us against Jacksonville in Baltimore to start our run all the way to the Super Bowl. Because, at some point you're going to have to beat these guys. If you remember, that was a game, I think we were down by 20.
We've lost Coach Billick. We'll get back to him in just a moment.
I guess he doesn't want to talk
about it. Good little run there of stories coming out. Those were some battles, though, right? I mean,
they were.
The one
he's talking about was a 39-36 that was really sort of the beginning of the end for the Jaguars.
That was Jimmy Smith's 283-yard game.
Unbelievable game. But the Jaguars wound up losing. The Ravens went on, and the Jaguars struggled. Never really put it together again under Tom.
Remember that season also, they played here. And it was a 15-10 game, and it was field goals. Yeah. That was during the stretch in which the Ravens would go five consecutive games with Brian Billick, noted offensive guru.
That's right. Yeah.
As the head coach. Tony Banks was the quarterback, and that probably had something to do with it at one point. And then they switched, and Dilfer came on. But they went five games without a touchdown. So there were some big battles. And Boselli goes back, and if you talk to Tony,
for a while.
Well, and fun battles to watch. Michael McCreary against Tony Boselli at that moment was a really big moment. Coach is back, I think, and he was talking about it was week two of that 2000 season, 39-36, up there at what is now M&T Bank Stadium.
Let's go back to the phone line. Coach Billick is back with us. We lost you there, Coach. Sorry about that.
We were talking
about some of those battles back in the day between the Jags and the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't know when you got cut off, but that was a defining moment for us to be able to come back and beat a foe that they had not beaten since the inception of the organization. To be down the way we were, and to have that last-minute touchdown to Shannon Sharpe beat Jacksonville Jaguars, that was a big game for us. That was kind of a turning point for us in that championship year.
Coach, we're waiting to hear tomorrow exactly what Tom, besides being in charge of all things football, exactly what he's going to do. I'm just curious, knowing his history with quarterbacks and knowing that it's such an important position with the Jaguars and Blake Bortles at a moment in his career, how you think Tom, in charge of football operations and not a coach, can impact a young quarterback like Bortles?
Well, yeah, that remains to be seen in terms of exactly what the structure is. I'll be interested, for one, to know exactly how this is going to piece together now with Doug Marrone and Dave Caldwell. You got a lot of moving parts there. So I'll be interested to hear how they lay it out and what the exact structure is. Obviously, the biggest impact he can have is to surround Blake Bortles with as many good athletes as he possibly can. That's got to be job one in the development of Blake Bortles, to try to get a better team around him than he's had.
Just as a follow-up to that, I guess the bigger picture is how Doug and Tom get, work together with Tom in his first year in a front office capacity and not coaching. Do you think that Doug Marrone, who's been a head coach in this league, will be comfortable having Tom around, or vice versa, Coach? Do you think, if you were sitting in that role, that you'd be comfortable spending time around the football team in that capacity?
Well, it's never a bad thing to have someone of that kind of ability around. Now, I'll go back to my time with the San Francisco 49ers when Bill Walsh brought in John McVay and John Ralston. I think John Ralston was the president of the company, and John McVay was the head of the personnel, both former head coaches in this league. And it was interesting to watch that dynamic. John McVay, then and for a long time afterwards, took on the role of supplementing Bill and trying to do just that. I'm going to be that conduit for you to put the best players around whoever we put together that you can. John Ralston tried to take more of an active hand, and it didn't go real well. And I imagine everybody's got to have a well-defined duty, and Doug Marrone's going to take all the help he can get. If Tom Coughlin tries to tell Doug Marrone how to do his job, then I don't know that that's going to go real well.
Brian Billick is with us. We give him a follow on Twitter, at Coach Billick. You can watch him on NFL Network's NFL Game Day First, Saturday at 10 a.m. and Sunday at 7 a.m. The difficulty of an interim hiring full-time. We saw it last year in Tennessee with Mike Mularkey brought on as the full-time head coach. Coach, it might not be the sexiest selection among the fan base of an interim coach moving in, but the difficulty of that. How does Doug Marrone move forward from this?
Well, we've talked about it many times. You're today, particularly with the candidates available, there's nearly nobody out there that's going to win the news conference, that win that day, unless you can get a Nick Saban or a Jim Harbaugh to come out of Michigan and Alabama. They're just not going to all of a sudden universally be acclaimed as, oh, boy, we're okay now. So if you begin with that, certainly Doug Marrone's going to be as good as anybody that they can bring in here. He has veteran experience. We had a particularly large group of former head coaches that are coordinating in this league. even though he wasn't the coordinator. So, and that seems to be a very attractive group to hire from. And so Doug Marrone obviously brings in those credentials. And like I said, now you go about the work of, you know, notwithstanding a Mike Mularkey last year, and obviously it turned out real well, as it did for Dirk Cutter in Tampa Bay, and that's something that they chose to do. Interim's becoming the head coach historically hasn't gone real well in this league, but you've got two examples, recent examples, that have actually turned out pretty good for him.
What are your thoughts in general on Doug, Brian? How much do you know about him, and what do you think of him as a head coach, having seen him in Buffalo for 2 years?
Well, you know, he's an excellent coach, no question about it. I was most familiar with Doug when he was the offensive line coach in New Orleans, and I know Sean Payton and the league as a whole thought a great deal of him. And then obviously he did the Syracuse and the Buffalo, and showed that he understands that structure. He understands those things that you need to do as a head coach. So he comes in with a great deal of experience and has the credentials, and will operate it along the lines that seems to be the most successful dynamic that you see around the league right now, a head coach that's truly a head coach. I know some of the guys being interviewed now are the quote-unquote offensive or defensive genius, and they're looking for the great play caller. At the end of the day, when you look at the teams that are in the playoffs, you look at the teams that are coming into this Elite Eight now, or when we get down to the Final Four, for the most part, it tends to be coaches that are good head coaches and do that and serve that role, and then put into place coordinators to do that job. So Doug certainly has proven that he can do that, and that's the structure he'll put together there.
Coach, do you miss it at all?
There's times that I do, and there's a lot of times I don't, particularly now when I watch the transition, what coaches are going through and what they're looking for. I've said it many times, because obviously in this time of hiring coaches, given my experience of 40 years in this business, there's two things that I know I don't know. One, I don't know what a catch is. And two, I have no clue what people are looking for in head coaches nowadays. So, you know, you pay your money, you take your chances, you put someone there, and we'll see what they come up with.
Brian Billick, NFL Network analyst. Give him a follow on Twitter, @CoachBillick. We really appreciate your time, Coach. Thanks a lot.
Glad to do it.
There he is.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Billick, Super Bowl champion with the Ravens, Super Bowl 35 with that great defense. Join us Thursday right here on Jaguars.com. It's a 10 a.m. start. They're saying 9:55, though. We'll go on air at 9:45 with a big announcement tomorrow. Tom Coughlin, Doug Marrone, Dave Caldwell, Mark Lamping, Shad Khan, all scheduled to speak with the media. We'll carry it live. Guest on set after the presentation. You can watch it live here on Jaguars.com. Should be a fun day tomorrow, guys.
Yeah, and I want to go back to something Brian said, because I think it really was the meat of his part of the show today, and that is that Doug Marrone is an honest-to-goodness head coach. Mm-hmm. And we saw that from the moment he took over, the way he is on the sidelines, and I'm on the sidelines now, so I spent a good deal of time watching and listening to him and the way he interacts with players when he was the line coach. Then I watched him when we went to Indy. He was the last person off the plane. Did you notice that? And he was the last person up the elevator. It was interesting just to watch as he kind of had a head coach's presence. Even though he was the interim guy, he showed you who he is. He's a head coach.
He felt comfortable in the role from day one. Didn't surprise me that was the case, but very, very head coachy.
Carries himself.
That's what he is.
Yeah, carries himself as one. Commanding presence, much like Coughlin. So I'm very interested to see how this evolves.
Right. When you look at that group, if all 70 people, coaches, players, are all together, you won't doubt who the head coach is.
Nope.
Good perspective from Brian Billick today. We appreciate him for his time. Thanks to you guys as well. Well done. Brian Sexton,
thanks,
John
JP.
Osier, Joe Fortunato, Max Hockman, Patrick Cavanaugh, Dave DeCandis, our entire crew. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching. Join us tomorrow, 9:45 for the press conference here on Jaguars.com Live.